Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show.
Welcome to Horror Hotel. It's me, Ray.
And me, Sicily. That's right, I'm back, motherfuckers.
So much energy. You were gone for... To them, you were gone a week. I need you to know that. To them, you've been gone like 2 weeks max. Yeah, so remember when we said we were going to record all of these in July? I told you guys that, like a liar would say.
Yeah.
So last week was the first episode recorded in this house. That was my Grappling of Ray. Unfortunately, we were unable to record this episode before we had to leave the apartment. A lot of things came up. So
Too much.
Yeah. So, Sicily and I have actually not been roommates for, how long has it been? 3 weeks now?
Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah, so yeah, we were both living with our families, and we will have a bit more news on our personal lives in at the end of this episode.
Yeah, but you have to actually get to the end of the episode. You're not just going to cheaply get by this and just get the deep secrets in the first few seconds of listening to this podcast. You actually got to get through the meat
yeah.
of this episode.
You know what was depressing? I read the audience retention information now that I actually have a laptop to do business on, and it was depressing.
How so?
I mean, it sounds really cool when you have over 80 plays on one episode. It sounds less cool when you find out over 50% of them didn't make it through half the episode.
Damn. Y'all are letting us down like that.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm still going to get paid for that 25 cents an hour.
There is so. That.
Oh my gosh. Today we are covering Army of the Dead. This was a movie, it's got two release dates actually. It was released May 14th, 2021 in select theaters and May 21st, 2021 on Netflix, directed by the infamous Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder also wrote the screenplay. He co-wrote that with Shea Haddon based on a screenplay that was already written by John Harold, distributed by Netflix. And if you're looking to watch this movie before we dive deep into it, because we are going to cover heavy spoilers, the movie is 148 minutes. That's 2 hours, 28 minutes for those without the access to a calculator.
I would hope you all have access to a calculator.
So we're gonna cover the cast real quick. You ready for this?
Yes.
Let me know if there's anything that jumps out at you. Dave Bautista.
That definitely jumps out to me.
as Scott Ward, the father. Bautista is primarily known for his comedic work in the MCU as Drax the Destroyer.
Let's be honest, quite a bit of us were intrigued by this trailer just by seeing Bautista's face. Like,
Bautista is amazing.
Just by seeing this man's bald head, we were like, yes.
I love him for so many reasons. Obviously, from Grappling with Ray, I love him because he's a professional wrestler.
Of course.
What was that? There was a movie he was in recently, and I forget the name of it. I'm going to have to fact check myself. But
do it.
I think it's Stuber. I do believe it's called Stuber. It's like he's a cop, and he has to commandeer a vehicle. Yep, it is, in fact, Stuber. Yep, 2019 American buddy cop action comedy film. And he's in it with Kumail Nanjiani.
Huh.
Yeah, very very good comedic film. But he is known for more than just his comedic work. He was actually in Blade Runner 2049, I believe it was. He had a small, not a small role, but he wasn't the lead in that like he is in this one.
Obviously,
this is an ensemble film. But would you say that this is Bautista's film almost?
Yeah, definitely.
Other than Dave Bautista, though, we have Ella Purnell as Kate Ward, the daughter of Scott Ward, and a volunteer. Volunteer for what? We're going to get into that in a few minutes. We got Omari Hardwick as Vandero. I nicknamed him the Saw Man for reasons that, we will get into. We got Ana de la Guerra as Maria Cruz. I probably fucked that name up a bit.
Yeah, you probably did.
We got Theo Rossi as Burt Cummings, and I can only ever remember Theo as Shades from Luke Cage. Literally, when we were watching this movie, I looked at him, I'm like, who is that? And I'll admit, I fucked up. I thought that he was the actor for Diego in Umbrella Academy at
first.
Yeah,
I noticed who he was and he's also from Sons of Anarchy as well.
Yeah, I didn't watch Sons of Anarchy, yeah, so I never got that reference, but I can only ever see him as Shades, and I swear to God, this guy is just known for playing douchebag characters. Way to go, Theo.
Yeah.
We got, okay, this is a never name I'm going to butcher. We got Matthias Schweighöfer.
Butch it up.
as Dieter, the safe cracker. He is a German, for those that couldn't tell by my butchered pronunciation. We got Nora Arzenator as Lily, the coyote. We also have Hiroyuki Sanada as Bly Tanaka, the casino owner. Tig Notaro as Marianne Peters, the pilot. Raul Castillo as Mikey Guzman, the YouTuber. Huma Qureshi as Gita, the desperate mother. Garrett Dillahunt as Martin, the head of security. Samantha Wynn as Chambers, the badass. Richard Citrone as Zeus, the original zombie. And Athena Parample as the alpha queen.
Woo! That was a mouthful.
Alright, so this is the point of major spoilers, everyone.
We're gonna return after this, boys and girls.
We're going to be covering the plot in full, so I hope you're ready. If you haven't watched it, I mean, it's on Netflix. If you have access to a Netflix account, pause this, watch it. I highly suggest watching it, especially if you're a fan of action movies, zombie movies. Zack Snyder in general, I guarantee you there's probably an uncut version of this that's like 4 hours long. That's probably even better than what we saw.
Oh, yeah.
But for the most part, they didn't do him wrong like Warner Brothers did. We're actually getting to see the whole Zack Snyder cut. Not the whole cut, but we're getting to see his...
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if it's the whole one.
We're getting his vision is the point I'm trying to make. We're getting his vision in this movie. All right. Plot points, people. We start the movie just outside the city of Las Vegas as a military convoy is driving down the Nevada desert. At the same time, two of the soldiers in the lead car discussing what could potentially be inside the payload they are carrying, there is a man who is receiving roadhead and drifting into the opposite lane.
You can already tell this scene is setting up for something to go terribly wrong.
As the lead convoy car swerves to avoid this car, the couple crashes in a fiery explosion with the truck carrying the payload. This payload would be revealed as a zombie. This zombie would be very strong and fast, as it would kill the soldiers quite easily and turn two of the soldiers into what we would know as alphas. We are then treated to a montage depicting the story of a group of Las Vegas survivors, set, of course, to Viva Las Vegas by a Mr. Elvis Presley. While the military would repeatedly fail to stop the outbreak, this group of survivors would manage to make it out, with a mother and daughter dying just as the final segment of the barricade is dropped. The remaining survivors would be members of our ensemble cast. So
that whole montage, like, kind of surprised me because, like, I don't know, like, they really put a short montage together of, like, something, like, a pretty big story arc of this group of survivors getting to the point of creating a normal civilization outside of this outbreak.
It could have been a film unto itself.
It could have.
Like, I very much was already intrigued by the mother-daughter duo, because the mother-daughter duo that we see die at the end of this montage, we start the montage with them.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, they're the ones that survive. We intercut with them meeting up with Dave Bautista, with Sawman. By the way, I call him Sawman because literally in this trailer, he just has a freaking, like, power saw and is just chopping the shit out of these zombies. So that's why I call him Sawman, because he somehow still has this saw as we continue into the film.
Yes.
And it just seemed like she was the leader of this group. And then, like, as the group is running away, this is a barricade of, like, what was it? Like, warehouse storage containers? Like, giant-ass ones that you would see on a cruise ship or whatever?
They literally just packed them on top of each other.
And there was, like, one little space left that everyone was trying to run through. And the woman's daughter gets caught by the zombies. And, like... Actually, I don't think... It wasn't the daughter.
It was the mother.
The mother got caught, and because she originally told the daughter to run while she held the zombies off. The daughter refused to leave the mother, and they both held each other as the zombies, like, surrounded them, and then the last barricade was dropped, crushing them.
Yeah, it was kind of unfortunate to see that.
Yeah, like, that was already fucked up,
yeah.
Dude. So, we do a jump cut 6 years later. Scott Ward would be approached by a casino owner who states that he wishes to retrieve $200 million from a vault in his casino. With the news that a tactical nuclear strike would be dropped on what is now a quarantine zone, the owner wishes for Scott, a well-known survivor and mercenary, to take the job. With a promise that Scott could have $50 million spread among himself and his crew, he gets to work in the hopes that the money could help him finally open a restaurant for himself. He recruits Maria Cruz and Vendero, his fellow survivors from the initial outbreak. He then recruits a pilot, a YouTuber sharpshooter, and a safecracker. While these events are going on, we are introduced to Kate Ward, Scott's daughter, and a volunteer at the camp outside of the quarantine zone. After having a heated confrontation with a crooked officer, Kate attempts to talk to her friend Gita out of going to the coyote for help getting into the city, but Gita wishes to find money so that her and her children are able to have a better life. Back at the heist meeting, the casino's head of security reveals that he is also going along for the ride to help the team gain access to the casino.
Which very much goes against their plans, because basically, Batista's character was already trying to basically just take all the money for himself.
Which I'm happy for, because that's what I said in the beginning. I was like, yo, what fucking stops him from literally just taking the 200 mil for himself?
It's this dude that stops them.
Also, just to be clear, the YouTube sharpshooter guy, he brought along two of his own friends, one of which bailed as soon as the plan was revealed, aka smartest man in the entire film.
And honestly, after this, so this dude decided to bail after he heard, like, after they broke down the whole plan of how they're going to break in, and basically literally every detail of this plan, and he's like, all right, just kidding, I don't want to be a part of this.
He was literally like, whoa, 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 zombies?
Yeah.
And his buddy's like, you always said you fucking got a zombie up, you ever saw him? I was talking shit, man! I ain't fucking doing this!
And both Ray and I were like, yeah, he's probably gonna get killed.
We literally saw Martin, the head of security, like, reach for his gun. I was like, he's gonna die. He's gonna get shot. Like...
But no, surprisingly, he didn't. He literally walked out of there alive.
I understood why, too, because it was like, for one, the casino owner didn't give the order. I mean, for all we know, he got killed out away from everyone's view. But, like, it was important to the casino owner that Martin's actually, like, trusted by this group of people.
Yes.
None of them trusted him anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So the team is now at a number of 8. Scott reached out to Kate so that she could get them a bus ride into the camp and get him into contact with the coyote. Kate would discover Gita never returned from her trip into the city and asks if the coyote saw her die. This is, of course, after she, like, almost broke the coyote's nose.
Yes. She gave her a good old punch.
With no confirmation, Kate says that she is going with them. The coyote states that they need another person and convinces the abusive police officer to come along with them.
Great idea.
So now with
all around.
Now with the inclusion of Shades, the coyote, and Kate, the team is now expanded to 11 and enters the city with just under 48 hours before the nuke drops. So, I mean, how are you feeling now? We're like roughly, we've hit the rising actions of this film. We're not necessarily at the climax yet, but like we're about to enter this quarantine zone.
I remember at this point of the film, I was starting to think, like, how are they going to get away with, like, being able to steal all the money they want to steal with this dude with them now? Like, how is that going to affect their plans? Because at least it didn't show them having a discussion of what they were going to do.
I mean, really. When were they going to discuss it?
That's a good question, since he was literally there with them.
Ever since they found out, this guy's been on their ass the entire time. Even though it also appears that he just has, like, terrible hearing, because at one point, the pilot literally is like, hey, so, can we just, like, leave this guy behind at some point? And she's talking so everyone can hear her. Everyone turns to Martin, and then Martin's all looking off in the distance, turns around, sees them all looking at him, and goes, what?
Yep.
Like, this dude fucking sucks. All right, so the team would encounter, as soon as they enter, they encounter and hide from a zombified tiger. This is where the budget went, people.
Oh, yeah.
I was not disappointed. The fucking CGI that went into this tiger. There had to be research into the skeletal and muscular structure of this tiger because it looked completely realistic. I fucking loved it.
It was terrifyingly majestic in the best way possible.
So after that encounter, they didn't fight it. It, like, prowled around, didn't see them, walked away. After that encounter, the coyote would trick the abusive cop into letting her see his gun. She would shoot him in the leg, tie him up, and explain to the others that the alphas of the zombies have a culture. If the team leaves a sacrifice, they will be allowed safe passage. While skeptical, no one was upset to see what the coyote revealed to be a rapist cop dragged away by the alpha queen.
Oh yeah, nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah, no one cared at all. Literally, this cop, when Shades has the encounter with Kate, he basically, like, is taking her and Gita's temperature, because, like, one of the symptoms of turning into a zombie is that your temperature drops, and he checks Gita, is like, yeah, you're good, checks a Kate, and he's like, ooh, you're getting pretty low. You're a couple degrees below the normal sign. And everyone's like, oh, shit. And he goes, well, you're both within the margin of error. Maybe if you listen to me from now on. And it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, from the beginning, we know that this dude's character is a fucking dick.
Yeah.
From the jump.
So, but now he's gone, so now we're down to 10.
Yep.
It is noted that the Alpha Queen did not kill him outright. She dragged him away.
Yes.
And even Kate's especially concerned about this. She's like, well, where did they take him? And the coyote's like, oh, they took him over there, it's like a breeding ground, basically. And now that's implying to Kate, like, okay, if we didn't see Geeta die, then maybe Geeta went to that place.
Right.
So we're dropping those little eggshells for people to pick up on.
Breadcrumbs,
thank you. As the crew prepare to travel further, we are shown a scene that implies Zeus, the original zombie, has impregnated the Alpha Queen. And in celebration, Zeus infects Shades and allows his horde to kill him, but not eat him, as he is to become a new Alpha. Yo, I need to understand, like, every zombie show / movie franchise has different rules for their zombies. I think this is the first time I've seen it where a zombie can impregnate another zombie.
Yeah, that was a weird thing to witness.
Like, they had the, like, they can't...
It had me... Sorry, go ahead.
They can't communicate in English, but, like, what implied it is, like, she's, like, rubbing her belly, he's putting his ear to it, and he hears something that gives him joy. And he's literally, like, giving a victory cry to all his crew.
He's getting hyped up by his boys.
He's just like, it still works!
Like, that, it had me wondering what, like, how exactly they procreate. Like, is it just, like, humans, or,
is it just, like, are they...
Because I didn't see them they didn't really have much clothes on.
Yeah, right?
So I don't really know. I don't know how that works.
Like, is it, like, as long as you still have the genitalia, will it still work? Now that you're, I mean, when we are first introduced to Zeus, he is considered, like, the top specimen of a zombie or human, because he's peak speed, peak strength, like, he's possibly beyond peak strength of what a human being could do. So, like, I guess maybe they were like, hey, what if, because it's implied that this is a war, this is a weapon of war, that this is like a WMD, a weapon of mass destruction. So what if the people, whoever created Zeus was like, all right, but what if he was able to mass produce? What if he could reproduce more soldiers as he was going, both by infecting them and by breeding them?
I guess it makes sense, but, like, it also doesn't.
We're also told that these guys have their own culture and their own ways, so it's like, they're not, are they truly just weapons, or are they, like, are they a different species at this point?
Right.
All right. As the crew attempts to make their way through a building, they find many regular zombies, or shamblers, hibernating. With the coyote instructing them not to shine the light in their eyes, bump them, or make loud noise, Scott decides to leave glow sticks behind him as he finds a clear path through to the other side. With the badass Chambers being the most vocal and not trusting the head of security, she makes him go in front of her while she takes up the rear. Martin would show his true colors as he threw one of the glow sticks aside, intentionally leading Chambers astray.
Like an asshole.
Chambers would survive by stabbing zombies as they woke up, though one shambler, knocking a tray over, woke all of them up. Everyone else would escape to relative safety, but before Chambers could make it to the door, Martin would lock it behind him. Chambers would then jump through a window, but as she struggled to escape the shambler's grasp, she was bitten and then put out of her misery when her friend the YouTuber shot her fuel tank, killing her and the zombies in a fiery explosion.
This scene was so fucking, like, it was a scene that had me on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, this was the most hype I ever got throughout the movie, because this was the first character I cared about. I was like, oh my god, she's so badass. She's not just some helpless fucking woman. She's literally she got in trouble. Toom! Boom! Quick, decisive action, just stabbing all these zombies quick in the skull, never fucking panics. Like, she's just a badass. That's why I put her nickname in here as a badass. She was the most badass of this entire group. This also made me hate Martin immensely.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I already didn't...
He went to so, like, great lengths to make sure that she died.
I already didn't trust him, but the fact that it's his actions that led to my favorite character's death, fuck you, dude. I hope you get the worst death of this entire movie. How many people going in did you think was going to die?
Like, I thought, like, almost all of them were going to die, not even going
to
last.
That's a fair assessment. My assumption was Batista would either be the last to die, or he would be the one of the only ones to live.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But I would also like to mention how they don't really discuss the different types of zombies at all. They just throw the terms out there, and they're like, eh, we're not going to really explain it. Like, when they said shamblers, I immediately thought of The Last of Us, and I was like, are we going to see the same shamblers that you would see in The Last of Us? Like, what the fuck is happening? No. I didn't see any difference between the shamblers and the alphas. I don't fucking know. Like, they were sleeping? Well, is that it?
I think the main difference is the shamblers are only powerful in numbers. The alphas, like, one alpha could fuck you up. Like, the alphas are more strong.
Still, my point is that they didn't do a very good job with explaining the difference.
I was sort of okay with that. They knew what this movie was. This movie's a summer blockbuster. It's an action pick. Like, they didn't take the time to explain it. And storyline-wise, that could also just be explained as the characters have lived in this world for 6 years. They don't need to explain to each other what's happening. They know what shambler means. It sucks that the audience doesn't know, but the audience came to see people get killed by zombies.
Yeah, I mean... I wouldn't say all the audience came to see that. You can't really generalize and say, yeah, everybody wanted to see that.
Everyone who saw this movie. After the team arrives at the casino, we are treated to multiple scenes. I'm literally just going to generalize so much of the next, like, 30, 45 minutes of this film.
Yeah, this is a long movie, folks.
That after the teams arrive at the casino, the multiple scenes where Scott and his daughter have begun to reconcile their relationship. Marianne struggles to repair the helicopter, and Vandero, Dieter, and Guzman work to disable the traps that lead to the vault. Meanwhile, Martin and the coyote work to lure the Alpha Queen out into the open, under the pretense that Martin wants a vial of her blood. After successfully catching her, Martin proceeded to behead her with a garrote wire, unknowingly killing her baby. As the group begins to reconvene, there is a news alert stating that in order to avoid political stalling, the tactical nuke drop time has been moved 24 hours ahead, at this time leaving our team with 90 minutes to get the money and leave.
Because, you know, we gotta bump up that fucking...
Yeah, that's the climax at this point.
The action of this movie.
At that point, like, they're literally sitting pretty like, we got a full day, we're good. Oh yeah, we thought it'd be cool to drop a nuke on the 4th of July, but politics might keep us from doing that, so we're just gonna fucking drop it a day early. Yeah, it's gonna drop in an hour and a half. Yeah, now everyone's like, shit! Oh my goodness. I lost my place for once. There we go. As the team works to secure the casino, Dieter manages to unlock the safe. This is after Dieter gets, like, such a really cool, nice moment where he's, like, trying to work. And freaking Batista walks into the room like, how's the safe going? And, but, like, Vandero tries warning him, like, shh, he's working. And Dieter's like, let me tell you something loud, man. Do you know what this is? This is a safe with 4 locks on it that will constantly randomize every time you fail. Now, I've already just failed once. I fail one more time, and we will be locked out of it forever! Do you understand, quiet man? No, quiet is what you're going to be. Shh. And it's like, this dude is so timid throughout the entire film, except when he's trying to crack a safe. He's like, shut the fuck up and let me work.
Yeah.
Scott and Maria reminisce, and Maria admits to having romantic feelings for Scott. The timing of his conversation would be very poor, as Scott would discover that his daughter had left the casino in search of her friend, and that Zeus had discovered the death of his unborn child and gathered an army to attack. One of the Alpha soldiers would attack Maria, suddenly breaking her neck in front of Scott. That was so sudden, too. Like, they literally opened the elevator door. Zombies right there, literally twists Maria's head around 180 degrees so that she's looking at Dave Bautista as she dies. Like,
yeah, it was really sudden.
Like, fuck, dude. Now we're in the big shit. Vandero would attempt to fight Zeus in hand-to-hand combat. Very terrible decision. The team,
but, you know, it made things more interesting.
The team works their way through the shamblers and alphas to escape, only for Martin to lock the ceiling grate leading out. He would say his boss only ever cared about the head, stating the potential to create a personal zombie army would be worth more than the money. The coyote would work with Vandero's power saw to break the grate, and as this happens, Vandero himself would be defeated in combat and almost killed, but Dieter saves him, sacrificing himself to lock Vandero in the safe, where the zombies cannot get inside. I'm going to tell you right now, at this point, I literally made the prediction. I'm like, all right, so Van Der Rohe is going to live. Van Der Rohe is going to be one of the only ones to live. And then he's going to be very successful or he's going to be bitten. And we're going to find out that this was all for nothing. I made that prediction right at this point in the movie, as soon as I realized he was locked in the safe. Because my immediate imagination was that safe is probably powerful enough to withstand a nuclear bomb being dropped on it.
Well, yeah, it was protected so greatly, so...
You would think, yeah, with, like, tripwires, walls that crush things, yeah. Like... Marion would celebrate his victory, only to discover that the coyote swapped the Alpha Queen's head for a machine of the same weight, and before he can go back for it, he is mauled by the zombie tiger. Thank you, Jesus, that there is karma in this movie. The crew continue to flee, but the YouTuber Guzman is bitten, and so pulls all the pins of his grenades, taking out a sizable portion of the horde with him. Upon reaching Marianne in the roof, Scott and the coyote would stand off with Zeus. The coyote would hold Zeus off by holding the Alpha Queen's head at gunpoint, giving Scott and Marianne time to escape. Though they witness Zeus impale Coyote with a makeshift javelin, only for Coyote to drop the Queen's head to the ground, where it is destroyed. Scott would ask Marianne to take him to the Olympus breeding ground, as it was believed that that would be where Geeta was kept if she was still alive, and surely is where Kate would have gone looking. In the hotel, Kate kills the Alpha Shades and saves Geeta, but as her and her father reunite, they discover Marianne left them. Marianne returns for them, telling them they have to hurry as they have less than 5 minutes before the nuke drops. One of my favorite lines in the whole film. They literally just realize Marianne left them because, like Scott Ward already told Marianne, like, yeah, we got, like, maybe 15 minutes before the nuke drops, but we gotta take some time to save my daughter. And he goes back, finds out she left, and then all of a sudden the helicopter comes up, and she's just like, yeah, somewhere between leaving your ass, and I grew a conscience, so get the fuck in here quick. Like,
before I decide against it.
Zeus would catch up to them and leap from the roof to the helicopter, leading to a fight. During the struggle, Scott would accidentally shoot Marianne in the shoulder, even though it looked like he shot her in her fucking skull.
Yeah, literally.
Causing her to lose control of the helicopter. During this, in the dropping of the nuke, Scott would kill Zeus. As the helicopter crashes, Kate looks for survivors, finding both Geeta and Marianne dead. I had to watch this to see what happened to Geeta, because I did not see Geeta in the original play.
Yeah.
I was like, where the fuck is her friend? I saw Marianne got stabbed by the helicopter blade, but I did not see what happened to Geeta.
It was not very clear.
Her father is alive, although he is bitten. After giving her the money that he was able to carry, he apologizes for not being there for her after the death of her mother and turns. Kate shoots him and tearfully says goodbye. And we're treated to, like, a couple credits, and then we get an epilogue. Van Der Rohe actually survived the nuke, I was right, having stayed in the safe. He escapes with as much money as he can carry, finds a truck, and drives to Utah, where he buys a private plane to take him to Mexico City. During the flight, he realizes that he has been bitten and is experiencing symptoms of turning. The movie cuts to black as the audience is left to wonder what the outcome will be.
Dun dun dun.
Alright, so we're gonna take a quick break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to discuss some fun facts, some analysis, and some questions about this film. And of course, we're also gonna cover what the big announcement is.
Yay, doggy!
And we're back. You ready for these fun facts, Sicily?
Yeah!
Once again, I have 9 fun facts. 9 seems to be the magic number when it comes to these fun facts.
All right.
Fun fact number 1. This movie was made on a budget reported to be between $70 to $90 million. It only made $1 million in the box office, but that's due to its limited release. It was literally only in, like, a couple theaters for, like, a week. Netflix is very private about earnings for their properties and the titles they stream. However, we can state that it has an estimated 75 million plays during the first month of its release alone.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how many more plays it's gone since then.
Yeah.
Fun fact number 2. One can imagine that with the creative genius of Zack Snyder at the helm, there is a bright future for this apocalyptic franchise, as there are 2 prequels in the work.
Wow.
One, a film covering the origins of Ludwig Dieter. Early reports and speculation would lead us to believe this film to be a heist movie with the title Army of Thieves. Another prequel is an anime series, Army of the Dead Lost Vegas. Not much is known about this anime series, but we can confirm that it will feature Dave Bautista, Ella Purnell, Ana de Aguera, and more reprising their roles in a voice acting capacity.
Interesting.
Army of Thieves is slated to release this year, 2021, And Army of the Dead Las Vegas is slated for a spring 2022 release. I'm honestly, I like Dieter. I did like Dieter. I look forward to seeing a heist movie starring him. From what I understand, it's still set during the zombie apocalypse, so... Now, and because they were like, oh yeah, zombies are going to be featured in this. And I'm just like, but the zombies are only in Las Vegas. Are you going to tell me that Dieter's been to Vegas before this movie? And that he's dealt with zombies before this movie? Also, one of my favorite aspects of Dieter is how confident he is in almost zero aspects of life except for safecracking. Like, when they introduce him to the safe, they're just like... Yeah, can you crack this? And he's just like, could I tell you, could I guarantee you that I can crack this? No. And then, like, Batista starts to take the bland way. He's like, up, hold on there, big hands. But am I the best safe cracker in the world and therefore your best chance at cracking it? Yes.
I'm glad you remember most of the actual dialogue, because I don't.
I fucking love Dieter. All right. Fun fact number 3, the role for the pilot wasn't always a woman. The original actor for the role was Chris D'Elia. Heavy reshoots were done for the film in September of 2020 after many allegations were made against Chris in regards to sexual misconduct. So, Tig Notaro was still very good. I'm very appreciative of her work because, as I think I mention it later on. Let's see. I don't know if I actually put this in here or not. But I believe she was when they did reshoots, it was, like, mostly her by herself. So, like, literally all of the majority of the scenes that she's featured in is, like, green screen.
Oh, wow.
Like, she never actually got to work with Dave Bautista. She literally, even though she has multiple conversations with him on the same screen.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so, and also Tig Notaro is actually also known for her comedic work. She actually had a HBO Max original comedy special just released, and it's animated.
I totally believe that she's a comedy type of person.
Yeah, her lines in this movie were very good, both in the writing and in the delivery. Like, yes. Like even when they just go to recruit her, and she's just, and they're like, yeah, you'll make, like, I forget how much they offered her, because they did not do an equal cut to everyone. I think they offered her, like, $20,000 or something, and I think she got offered $2 million. She got offered $2 million, and she's like, done. And they're like, but we didn't tell you what you're doing. I don't care. $2 million changes my whole life. I'm doing it. And they're like, you don't want to know anything about the job. Does it involve flying something? Yes. Am I the pilot? Yes. That's all I need to know.
As if they didn't end up getting the whole plan later on anyways.
Whole time she's like smoking a cigar too. Like, she's just that badass. All right. Fun fact number 4. The film almost didn't happen. You ready for this roller coaster of a story? Originally announced in 2007, the film was to be a spiritual successor to Dawn of the Dead. Despite having a director, script, and producer lined up, it would go into what is known as development hell, with multiple delays and questionable visions of its original director. Hume stated that there would be scenes... Can't believe I'm about to read this. That featured male zombies raping female humans and creating hybrids.
What even?
Yeah. After Legendary Entertainment failed to produce it, Netflix would eventually pick up the distribution rights in January of 2019, meaning this movie would not even begin production until over a decade after it was originally announced.
Damn.
Yeah, so how do you feel about that? Like, we talked about zombie procreation earlier, but... Male zombies raping female humans. Like,
I'm glad they scrapped that one.
Yeah, how would that, like, this movie was already rated R, but, like, how would you get that, like, into the movie?
I don't know. Nor do I really want to know.
Yeah, fuck, dude. Who I forget who the original director was. It obviously wasn't Zack Snyder, but fuck, man. So, Dave Bautista had originally said no to working on the film, citing that he both wanted to find more serious dramatic roles. Like, even though this was a pretty serious movie, it was also played for laughs a lot. And he also wanted to work with James Gunn again, this time in The Suicide Squad. Which, you know, that ended up being a super comedic movie, but it's James Gunn. Bautista has been a very vocal advocate for James Gunn, especially coming out of the whole... you know, oh, Disney's firing you. Now Warner Brothers is hiring you. Disney's hiring you back. Like, Batista was always such a big, big advocate for James Gunn. Even threatening to leave the, like, Marvel Universe if James Gunn wasn't hired back.
Damn.
For real. After reading the screenplay and admitting a desire to wanting to work with Zack Snyder, Batista would change his mind. So now, think about this. Just, we both have some acting backgrounds here. Batista is now an actor that has gotten to work under both James Gunn and Zack Snyder. How fucking big is that?
That's pretty huge.
Like, holy shit, the man behind Guardians of the Galaxy and the Suicide Squad, the man behind Justice League and Army of the Dead, just to name a few of their more recent credits. Like, oh my god. Just imagine what Batista has learned from both of these men combined.
Yeah.
His career is just going to launch with all the knowledge that he has gained.
Hopefully.
While most of the cast had to go through zombie boot camp learning how to handle guns, Mathias Schweighöfer was playing a character that had inexperience with guns despite the fact that he himself is well-trained in their use. Mathias therefore had to be trained in how to appear less skilled. Literally, like, the actor for Dieter was actually one of the only actors who knew how to use a gun. And he had to be the one character who didn't know how to use a gun.
Yes.
Like, what? Oh my god, I can't imagine that. Having to learn...
That's pretty hilarious.
That's acting 101 right there. You gotta learn how to be less skilled at something. That's like if you're, say, I don't know, playing someone who recently woke up from a coma. You have to learn how to not know how to walk. Because if it was a long enough coma, your body would forget how to walk.
Well, yeah.
So that's just something that blows my mind. Having to unlearn a skill so that you can present yourself as, oh, I don't know how to do this, even though I have years of experience. Filming started in July of 2019 and through a rigorous schedule was completed a month later. However, between COVID-19 delays and restrictions as well, as Chris D'Elia's sexual misconduct allegations, the decision was made to recast his role with Tig Notaro. These reshoots would take place over 14 days, with Tig having to work with a green screen and a scene partner. The only member of the ensemble that would return for the reshoots was Ana de la Reguera, having shot her scenes with Tig in half a day. So literally the only actress that Tig got to work with was Ana, who played Maria. Everyone else, like, she didn't even get to be on set for any of this.
Yeah.
She was on a fucking green screen. Like, oh my god, my respect for Tig Notaro has gone up a lot. Valentine, the zombified white tiger, yes, it does have a name, was actually modeled after one of the white tigers present in Carol Baskin's Big Cat Rescue Sanctuary.
Really?
Yeah, have you seen that show?
No.
I have not seen it either. But fuck Carol Baskins, I guess. Like, all right, fun fact number 9 to close this out on the fun facts. There does remain potential for a sequel, as Zack Snyder has stated that he and his writing partner Shay Haddon have plenty of ideas fleshed out and ready if there is an appetite for the sequel from the audience. Yo, if there isn't already an appetite for a sequel, I feel like there definitely is going to be after the two prequels. Like, Netflix is already putting so much fucking money into this franchise. I know Netflix wants there to be a sequel. Do you want a sequel?
I guess.
I want the sequel. I want this sequel. All right, you ready for some analysis/questions?
Yeah.
I got 7 for you.
Okay.
What was your favorite scene?
That's a good question.
I feel like we're going to have the same.
Trying to think. Nothing's popping in my mind just yet.
My favorite scene.
Yeah, go for it.
My favorite scene was the badass. The badass, like, her whole fight.
Her death scene?
Her death scene, but also her fight scene, just because, you know, one leads into the other. Because, again, that was the scene I was the most hyped for. That was the scene that got me out of my seat. I'm glad I wasn't in a movie theater. I would have been kicked out with how much I was yelling for her to live. I was like, yes! Yes!
And then when you thought she died, you were still very vocal. And then when you thought she was going to live, it was even worse.
I was like, yes! 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 Maya just broke in my chair with all the jumping I did.
If you hear the chair breaking, don't be surprised. Yeah. I don't think that was my favorite scene, but it was...
You're
it was
disgrace.
One of them.
You're a disgrace.
It wasn't my top favorite, though.
Well, what was your favorite, then?
I think...
Stalling.
Honestly, I think my favorite scene was when the coyote just dropped the queen's head and it splatted on the ground.
Just that moment?
Yes.
She's just like, fuck you, even though I'm dead now, fuck you. Like,
it was pretty great.
Oh my gosh. Was there any character in the film that made just good decisions?
I don't know about that.
Fuck no. No, there was one. The guy that said, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah, literally, that's the only one.
That was the best decision he could have made in this entire film.
Yeah.
He would have died if he went with them.
Oh, yeah.
How many people ended up living not bitten? Just the daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah, the daughter was the only one that lived and wasn't bitten.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck, dude? What that means the sequel either has to follow her or it's got to follow a completely different ensemble. Which I think is going to be weird since both the prequels are already going to be following the same cast. For the most part. Do you think the use of temp guns and the political debates featured in this film were better used in this time of pandemic and government mandates, or were they just too much?
I wouldn't say they were too much. But I wouldn't really say that, like... I wouldn't really say it was, like, done... in, like, an amazing way, either.
It's weird, because this movie was written and produced before the pandemic even happened. The majority of it, except right. for the reshoots.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much of the temp gun shit was added in reshoots or not, but, like, it's pretty heavy. Like, they're literally, like, they'll just... We got, like, cops and military men just walking up to people like, all right, temp gun. Oh, you're looking pretty low there. I'm gonna have to kill you. Like, and, like, they literally threaten to kill you if your temperature is too low. And there was a political debate on the film, and there's, like, one politician that's, like, very much being, like, well, how long before we have military personnel pulling people out of their cars for a random temp check? Like, I don't know how you feel politically on the show, but about talking politics on the show. I felt like it was a grim look into a possible future of real life.
Nah.
Was it, do you think it might have been art imitating life, or do you think it might have been art projecting, like, I mean, look at 1984 by George Orwell. That some can say that some of that shit's already happening today.
Yeah. I would say 1984 is definitely more political than this movie was.
Oh, hell yeah. George Orwell was very much a political writer. Zack Snyder? I don't know. I don't remember.
There was really only, like, little sprinkles of it in the movie, but it wasn't, like, overshadowed.
Was there little sprinkles? How much of this movie could have been just driven
That's what I got from it.
How much of this movie was driven by politics? Because, like, what was a zombie doing in a military convoy? Like, and they weren't even referring to it as a specimen, they were referring to it as a payload, as if this was a weapon of mass destruction. And the whole time, they're talking about, like, oh, well, personal zombie army. The U.S. government would pay big bucks for that. Like, I feel like politics were smattered, not oversaturated, but to the point of oversaturation. But I feel like the politics were in this movie, and it was a driving force in this movie, even if it wasn't always visible. Question four. Let's see. We already covered that in question three. Question three and four were kind of smashed together. Question five. Of all the different rules in regards to zombies, does this universe rank as one of the more threatening zombies?
Like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, do you feel like these zombies were more threatening than other zombies?
In some ways.
Bonus question. What do you think? What are your favorite zombies? Like, not from this franchise, just zombies in general. Like, Last of Us, The Walking Dead, Army of the Dead, Evil Dead.
Definitely The Last of Us.
Last of Us is your favorite? I think mine is Z Nation.
Yeah.
Have you seen Z Nation?
No, I think I'm thinking of, what is it?
World War Z?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Nah, fuck World War Z.
I didn't see Z Nation.
I'm thinking of Z Nation. Z Nation is very serious and also very comedic. It's a sci-fi show. Well, by that I mean it's on the channel Sci-Fi, or it was. And it was such a good show because there was so many different kinds of zombies and they had such comedic drive with them. Like, at one point, there's, like, a scene where zombies apparently took drugs. And now and it was, like, speed. So now the zombies are faster than the ever zombies. And they're just like, oh, man, speed zombies. And then like, off-screen, they see a never zombie. And they're like, the fuck is that? And they're like, looks like a Viagra zombie. Like, it's just so outlandish, but also so heavy because there's a character that is part zombie and can control zombies at some point. So I feel like I personally like the Z Nation zombies better. I honestly would probably say I'll agree I like the Last of Us zombies better than the Army of the Dead zombies as well. Army of the Dead zombies, the only intriguing concept of them is that they can procreate. That's the only unique thing to them.
And I mean, they do seem to, like, be fairly smart too, past just, like, wanting to eat.
Yeah, they have a culture. They want the city. The city is theirs. Like, they do not see it as their prison. They're like, no, this is our kingdom.
Right.
What do you want to see happen, or just in general, in the upcoming prequels?
I
want
to see more fucking animals. That's it.
I want to see more dieter. I'm gonna get that.
More zombie animals.
What I hope happens, here's what I hope. What I hope happens in Army of the Dead Las Vegas, because the voice cast, the returning actors that we have confirmed, I'm pretty sure are the actors that were in Las Vegas when the outbreak happened. So I hope Las Vegas covers that montage that we saw in the beginning.
That'd be nice.
I want to see that fleshed out. I want to know more about this mother-daughter that's doomed to die. Because I feel like that's going to be good.
Yeah.
All right, last question. Do we believe that Bandero killed himself before turning, or do we think it was too late?
The dude from the end of the movie?
Yeah.
I definitely don't think he killed himself.
You don't think he killed himself?
Nah.
I remember you had, like, a lot of you called bullshit on that scene, too, because you're just like, how did it take him so long to turn that he got from Nevada on his way to Mexico?
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It literally doesn't make any sense. Like, he's just the chosen one that just doesn't turn all, like, fucking like the rest of them.
I mean, to be fair, Batista had a wife and she did not turn right away because they got out and then all of a sudden she was a zombie while they were in the safety of her own home.
None of it makes sense because Batista turned in like fucking a minute.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it's adrenaline. I don't know. His blood was pumping. Or maybe it's because he was already dying. Like,
fuck them and their inconsistent turning of the zombies. Doesn't make any fucking sense.
That is Cicely's major complaint to Zack Snyder. Why the fuck are your zombies so inconsistent?
Make it consistent. Make it make sense.
Make it make sense. Anyway. Alright, so,
are you gonna share what you thought? Did you think he killed himself?
I don't think he killed himself, but I don't think I think he would have attempted, but he didn't have a weapon nearby. But he was already in, like, the throes of death and like, turning. So I feel like in his attempt to find a weapon, he probably, like, one of those very attractive flight attendants would have tried attending to him, and he would have scratched them or bit them, and at that point, it would have been too late. Because then at that point, plane, like, best case scenario, that plane crashes and they all live. But you have to remember something important. If he got bit, the only zombie that was close enough to bite him was Zeus, and that would mean that he would have become an alpha. Mm. And since Zeus is dead, does that mean Vandero is the new Zeus?
I don't know about that, because I'm pretty sure Zeus turned quite a bit of other zombies.
So. Yeah, but they all died in a nuclear blast.
Yeah.
Like, because that was the whole point of the tactical nuke. Yeah, it's all contained in one area. Somehow the government did a good enough job to contain it to one city, and that's it. Tactical nuke dropped. All right, 6 years worth of zombie apocalypse over. Not. And now it's in Mexico, which, I mean, come on. We already have a barricade there, don't we? Political jokes.
Yeah.
I know. It's not funny. It's a tragedy. But still. Anyway. And they're not, and as you said, they're not World War Z zombies where they can all pile on top of each other. Or are they?
That also confused me.
Yeah, that was your question. You're like, how come they don't just, like, run up each other and climb over the barricade? And I'm just like, this isn't World War Z, babe.
Or, like, not even, like, there was a lot of them. So, like, even if they weren't climbing on top of each other, if enough of them were hurting in one area, like, you would think they would be able to at least push the barricade.
Right? You would think, but oh well.
Yeah, I guess not.
All right, so we're gonna put a close to the horror hotel. We're gonna take a step back from the hotel. We're going to go to the real world for a minute. I'll insert the glass break that normally is the end of the episode, but we're going to have the announcement, guys. And I'm feeling bittersweet about it. All right, so the floor is yours, Cicely.
All right. If you've actually listened to this in its entirety and you've made it to the end, props to you. I like to give a little for the people that make it to the end of the episode.
I think you just
get a couple claps.
I think you just burst your eardrums.
That's what you get! Alright, so the big announcement that we've all been waiting for. Your girl is going to college.
Woo!
Which is exciting, but that also means that I won't be coming back. Unfortunately. But if you do happen to miss my voice and are interested in seeing what I look like, I do also have a upcoming new YouTube channel, and there already is content on there waiting for you, so I'm sure we can plug the link in this episode description, but my channel's called Gaming Experience. So feel free to check out any of the episodes if you're ever missing your girl, because it'll be a long time before I ever come back, if I do have the chance to, so.
Yeah, you're doing big things. You don't have to tell them where you're going if you don't want. At least tell them.
Yeah, y'all ain't gonna know where I'm gonna be staying at.
At least tell them what you're studying.
I'm gonna be studying theater arts because, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Is that a bachelor's program?
Yeah.
I have a full 4 years.
Heck yeah.
Man, so. Yeah, Cicely turned in her resignation actually a month ago.
Yeah, I made sure I put that shit in way early.
Yeah, so by the time they hear this episode, you'll actually already be in class and everything.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, I mean, how did you feel working for 73 Dream Studios? You came on as a guest, you immediately got hired.
It was a good experience overall. Not so much having to deal with you sometimes, but
right,
it was a good experience overall. I would definitely recommend it, because you know we're gonna need to need. Yeah, that's how you put sentences together. We're going to need some new people on this podcast, especially if we want to keep Casually Filthy up and going.
Right? Yeah, we.
So you know, always feel free to interact with us and send us anything you want, because we do need some new voices here.
Well, you can't say us anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you were a content creator, I believe that was your official title. You handled financials at a couple different points, helped us get some sponsorships. Your contributions were very good, and, from a personal standpoint, even though you pissed me off plenty, it was a pleasure having you as a co-worker and as a roommate.
Well, I appreciate that.
But yeah, so you got gaming experience. What is that, every Monday?
Every Monday.
Every Monday. So that's a nice little companion piece. You get gaming experience on Monday. You get 73 Dream Studios on Tuesday. Who knows? Maybe if you catch the big boss's attention, which you have a good habit of doing, they might get some nice little sponsorship deal going.
Hopefully.
Maybe they'll end up just combining the two at some point. I don't know.
That would make sense.
That would make sense, unless you just appreciate the independent spirit you have. Because I mean, I've gone to see her work on it. I've gone to see her take the time and buy all the editing software herself with the money that the studio paid her for working here.
Yes.
Unlike the 20
big bucks.
Do you think I might finally get promoted since you're leaving?
Potentially.
It's always potentially. But yeah, so
Yeah, that's wow. It, guys.
Yeah, that's the big announcement. After today, Cicely is not going to be performing on episodes with us anymore. Who knows? You might be able... We do have the voice messages. And yep. We got the voice inbox on set up on anchor.fm.
I definitely won't be a co-host. Maybe a guest every now and again.
Who knows? God, I'm going to have to call JP, aren't I?
Yeah.
Either call JP or do it solo. Tell me what you guys want. You want to hear more of me, or do you want JP to come in? I think I know what the answer's going to be.
I was going to say, what's the point in asking?
Yeah. I think I already know what the bosses want me to do. But yeah, so it was, wow, it's been quite the ordeal. As we said earlier, we haven't been roommates for like 3 weeks now, but...
Yeah.
But, now we say goodbye. You got what? What is it? Oh, you don't need a train anymore. You drive now. You get to drive to, you get to drive to class. You get to...
Well, I'll be walking to class since I'll be on campus.
Well, yeah, you get to drive to campus is what I meant.
Yeah.
Because it's, again, by the time you hear this, you're already in class. But
yeah.
Yeah, so after this, guys, you'll be hearing me, possibly my housemates that I don't try to interact very little with. you'll definitely hear the cats messing around. But this, for quite a while, at least, this is probably going to be the last time we hear Cicely's voice.
Yeah, that's right. So, I guess I will say my final goodbye to everyone who has supported us and listened in on multiple or maybe just a couple of our episodes. I appreciate it, and I had a lot of fun ranting and also not talking too much at some points on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do Horror Hotel as much.
Yeah.
Horror Hotel was the show you did a lot of solos on because I tapped out.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a new Watson for my mystery motels. I was definitely Sherlock, right?
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. I was Sherlock in this pairing. Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, I'm glad we featured you a lot this month. We had the bonus episode. We had you feature on Gaming Gab, which you don't get to feature a lot on, but...
That's true.
All right, guys. The next month's episodes, the next time you... Hear a Horror Hotel, it'll be September 21st, where I guess just myself will be covering the Medium game available originally only for Xbox and PC, but by the time this comes out, you guys, it'll be past my birthday, so I made the announcement September 7th in the September 7th recording, but I got a PS5.
Yeah,
so yeah, I get you'll get to see me play the Medium, not see me, but you want who knows? Maybe I'll put footage on my Twitch, rdog20. I started a Twitch. I don't have a face cam or a mic yet, so it's literally just gameplay footage. But yeah, you can check that out whenever you want. The next week's episode, I'll be covering Gaming Gab, Spider-Man Miles Morales. That is also going to be by myself. JP and I, our schedules are very much thrown about. He's gone to do a lot of cool things with his life, too. He actually got to go to a wedding. Not his own, but... He had to go to a wedding. And yeah, that's all I'll say for now. You'll know what the next Mystery Motel is by next week's episode. And you'll know what the big Grappling with Ray episode at the end of the month is going to be at some point. It's dependent on crowd interaction. So I don't know if I don't know. A lot's up in the air given the current state of the world.
We'll see.
But yeah, so what's not up in the air is that Cicely, it's been a ride.
I agree.
Yeah, so, I just wanted to say the studio told me to tell you that you're welcome back whenever you want.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so, I guess you gotta get going.
Yeah, I do. We went a little bit past our scheduled timing. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got the ride to catch. You got to say goodbye to your family and everyone. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Shake your hands here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was enjoy.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone. Good luck having to deal with his shit, because I don't have to deal with it anymore.
Oh, it's going to be so much worse now that she's gone.
All right, so that's it. She's gone. I'm gonna miss her.